Hi, this is Harry Thompson, editor of USA Hockey Magazine, and welcome to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast. Today we have the great fortune of being joined by Pittsburgh Penguins head coach Dan Bylsma, who was a speaker at this year's Level 5 National Hockey Coaches Symposium in Washington, D.C. Dan, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for being a part of the symposium as well as joining you here on the podcast.
That is great. So just some of your thoughts. You just wrapped up a great presentation for the symposium. Your thoughts about being here at the Level 5 and addressing so many great coaches.
For me, coaching, the idea of coaching started about 6 or 7 years before I actually began coaching at the pro level. I was doing a hockey school. I was involved in amateur. But my experience, I was looking, maybe at a void of what I thought a good coach was. So I started to prepare for coaching long before I started coaching at the pro level. And that preparation for coaches started by gathering information, reading books, going to symposiums as a player, trying to talk with coaches, interviewing coaches, talking about different topics with coaches, trying to gain information and knowledge about what good coaches do. And then it's continued. It's continued for, and it's going to continue, of learning and getting better as a coach, learning different ways and different techniques. And a big part of that is talking with other coaches. And the great thing about, I think, the coaching world is they're willing to share and to talk and be available to learn and grow in that situation. The symposium's a great example. It's a great time for good coaches to come and learn and to have the experience of other coaches and other skills and other types of things for their teams and apply it to what they do as a coach to get better. And that's why I'm here. Fortunately for me, I got to speak today and share on a topic and some other things, but it's also a chance for me to come and talk with other coaches, learn, ask questions, hear them speak on topics and get better as myself, regardless of what level or where I'm at. And that's something I think that this symposium is all about, and a process I'm definitely in myself.
Absolutely. I mean, I saw you in the back of the room listening to some of the other presenters. So, like you said, you can never too old or too high up in the chain to stop learning.
I learned from a player a long time ago, you should learn something from everyone you meet. And I try to learn something from everyone I've met, good or bad. I've always, like, that's Brian Chapman, what I learned from Brian Chapman. This is what I learned from Mike Babcock. And as coaches go on, and there's coaching symposiums, you learn 10 things, and there's coaching symposiums, you learn one or two things. And certainly at the level I coach, I hopefully know quite a bit about coaching and know quite a bit about what I'm doing. But at the same time, there's still nuggets of information and different ideas said different ways, taught different with different techniques that I still get every time I hear a coach speak. So I always take that opportunity to get in there, to listen, see if I can't grab something, one thing or 10 things to grab and apply to what I do and what we do as coaches.
Well, that's a great lesson for in life in general, but also a great lesson for any coach who's either starting out or thinks, who's been doing it for quite a while.
I sometimes you run into amateur coaches that have been coaching for a really long time, and there's an air of knowing everything about coaching. And if I ever give off that air, it's just a front, because I know I need to get better as a coach. I know I need to keep continually work to improve on what I do in my practices, in my games, on the bench, in how I coach. And I know I'm still trying to get better and learn in a lot of different ways. And it doesn't really matter. Sometimes the nugget of wisdom comes from a peewee coach. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it comes from the best coaches we have in the game. But coming in and sharing and being together, small groups, conversations, and at some presentations, that's where I've learned these things.
No doubt. And then just sitting around afterwards, whether it's over a beverage or it's at dinner or just shooting the breeze in the lobby, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of great conversations and a lot of things that get learned at those places as well.
You share, again, that interaction and those questions that you can ask. There's so many different aspects where I'm still trying to get better and learn. And just sometimes it is a small conversation. Sometimes it is, over social hours. Sometimes it's at dinner. Sometimes it's just in the hallway where you have that conversation with a coach, that question about a certain aspect or skill in the game or portion of the game, or dealing with people that you get information that you're like, I've never done it that way. I'm going to look at that as a way to apply to my team or to my players.
Absolutely. I wanted to ask you about the Pittsburgh Penguins and your system. I mean, you have a lot of obviously outstanding coaches, but you have a lot of American coaches in the system. I mean, obviously with Tony Granato and Todd Reirden in Pittsburgh, and then obviously John Hines, who spoke here today, and even Clark Donatelli in Wheeling. Just your thoughts about the number of American coaches who are now getting that opportunity at the top levels.
Yeah, we also have Tom Fitzgerald as a main development guy for us. Billy Guerin is also involved with our development coaching with our players, so two more Americans. I think the exposure the game has gotten, players that have grown up in the game and now are coaching, we're talking about high-level players, high-level people turning into high-level coaches at a lot of different levels. And in our organization, we're filled with USA Hockey people, and it's a great thing. Ray Shiro is our GM, and he's involved with USA Hockey as well. And it's great to see USA Hockey at the forefront of coaching and coaching development, and also those people developing into good coaches at all different levels, be it amateur or be it at the American Hockey League level or in the NHL level. And it's exciting to see. I know we talk about it a lot in our organization, and we talk about our development program. We talk about our USA Hockey teams in our organization a lot due to the fact that we have good coaches, good USA coaches.
Absolutely. Well, you mentioned Ray Shiro. That was going to be my next question. Was it even goes above the coaches? Now you're seeing a lot of outstanding general managers who are Americans. And obviously, yesterday we had the great opportunity to listen to Brian Burke, who does anything and everything for USA Hockey. And obviously, Ray Shiro, Dean Lombardi. I mean, the list goes on and on. So it even goes above the coaches to the higher levels of management as well.
Yeah, the GMs that are involved with USA Hockey, it's a pretty distinguished list right now with the GMs that are involved, Ray Shiro, Brian Burke, David Poyle. So it's a pretty good list. There's a few from Lombardi as well in there, Dave Del Talon, I think we've... So it's a really big list of hockey people at a lot of different levels, at the highest levels of the game, and I think it shows, a little bit of where hockey has gone for the USA, the development of hockey, and it's reaching a lot of different levels in all areas of the game.
No doubt. I wanted to also talk to you about the first book that you and your dad put together, which is So Your Son Wants to Play in the NHL. And it's such a great book. And if anybody out there hasn't read it, I would highly recommend it. You can get it at danbylsma.com along with his other books. But I just wanted to get some of your thoughts about that book and the whole, how you guys came up with the idea to write it and how it's been received in the hockey world and in the youth sports world in general.
The idea for the book, real simple. I'd done a hockey school in Michigan for a number of years, and at that hockey school we had done, my father, in addition with my mother, spoke to the parents on one of the days about, and the title of the speech was So Your Son Wants to Play in the NHL, and talked about the role of amateur athletics in young kids' lives and families' lives and the extent of which you can play it all year round and the levels of which you can play and the different aspects of that. And we had been giving that speech, and a person came to us and said, hey, would you write a book? We know your family, and it's a kind of a local publishing company in Michigan, and we thought maybe you have a good story and a good book. Do you have an idea for writing a book? And we gave him the outline for the speech. Within about 5 days, we had, the contract and the idea for the book had spawned, and now it's out there as So Your Son Wants to Play in the NHL. And really, it's a hook. It's not true. We don't have any inclination that we can get any player to the National Hockey League. That wasn't the inclination for my parents and me growing up in the sport. It's a lot about amateur athletics and the role it plays in our family's lives and our family's experience as we grew up during that and the life lessons that you can learn. And that's really a lot of what you'll find in the book, not really a secret recipe to get to the National Hockey League. In there, there's also some anecdotes and some lessons about some pitfalls of hockey and amateur sports and that road to the National Hockey League, and really culminizes with me in the National Hockey League as an NHL player saying, really, it's not about playing in the National Hockey League, it's life lessons, and that's probably even more true when you get to the highest levels of playing, a lot more about preparing your kids for life and not preparing them for hockey.
The book was written while you were a member of the Los Angeles Kings. Number of years later, I mean, obviously you're a successful NHL coach. You have a son who's playing youth hockey. If you were to write the sequel of that book based on all that you know now, I mean, what would be basically the general theme of that book?
I think I'd reiterate what I say, and maybe it holds a little more clout. Our job as parents and raising our kids really doesn't have anything to do with sport. Life lessons, preparing them to be an adult with priorities that you have as parents. They may not be mine, mm-hmm. But priorities and values and morals, honest work ethic, and well-rounded and a good person. All those things are what we're trying to instill in our kids, what we're trying to give our kids. Sports happens to be a great tool to teach some of those things. The lessons that you learn in sports about work ethic and improvement and team play and respect and winning and losing are all taught immediately in sports. It's a microcosm of life. And my reminder for myself as I parent my son, even though I've had the experience of playing at the highest level, is no different. I have no ideas or dreams about my son playing in the National Hockey League. And if he does, I would be more aware of the pitfalls than I would be about the thrills or the joys of playing at the highest levels. It's a hard road, and there's difficulties there. And I would be more in tune with those if my son did. But really, I'm preparing my son for life and with morals and values and well-rounded education. Those are where I'm looking to do, and I would remind people if I could write the book again.
Any thoughts of writing another book? Or I know you have a couple of other books out there.
I've thought about it a little bit. With the time that I have now, it's probably not going to happen. But there are certain aspects of coaching that lend itself to writing a book. There's certain, like a drill book and different parts of coaching I've really kind of already done. It's just not published. I have that in my office right now, my drills and my drill book and the reasons why I do the drill. It would be easily published and put into a book. So potentially down the road, you might see that. But there's too much or not enough time on my hands right now for everything else and the priorities that I have with my family and my son.
Sure. Well, based on the reaction that the coaches had to your presentation today on developing defensemen, it sounds like it would be a pretty well-received book and maybe a bestseller among the hockey community.
Well, there's lots of avenues there on that, and that's a great topic to talk about because of the development, the skill development, and the habits for the defenseman. But I think there's lots of places where ideas for books and potential for books are there. Putting in that time and effort, I don't want to take away either from my current job of coaching or my family and those priorities.
One of the big topics that's receiving a lot of attention these days, and rightfully so, is the topic of concussions and at all levels. And obviously, you're on the ground floor of one of the working with the Penguins, and obviously the Sidney Crosby's concussion symptoms are well documented. And I know I spoke with Ray Shiro a couple of years ago at Nationals, and his son was unable to play at Nationals because of a concussion. How much do you think, are we doing enough to talk about concussions, especially in youth hockey, and has there been a lot of progress made in your opinion?
Well, I think progress is a tough word to describe when it comes to concussions, and we're talking about a science that is really unknown in a lot of ways, and I don't know if we're going to know about it. So we're talking about situations of which are hard to put our hands around and hard to grasp. If we're talking about the safety of our players at the amateur level, utmost importance, and the physicality and the situations of putting our players into these that lead to concussions, I think really needs to be looked at and studied and thought about in terms of how we play the game or even what's allowed in our game at the amateur level and what level it's allowed, because concussions are really unnerving, an unknown that render your kids and people really unable to do any kind of activity, even go to school, let alone participate in the game of hockey. So I think understanding the seriousness of the situation, trying to prevent situations of what those injuries happen, be it physicality or certain types of physicality, need to be looked at and thought about in terms of when and where and how we play our game.
Absolutely. As a hockey parent and hockey guy, what are your thoughts about some of the programs that USA Hockey has put into place, whether it's the progressive checking skills or the American development model or standards of play? Are you satisfied with where USA Hockey is in some of what we're doing, or is there more things you would recommend?
I'm a full advocate of the programs and searching for ways and developing ways, both the coaching and in the policing of the game, or at least where and how we play the game physically and the rules of which we play it under. And the coaching is a big aspect of it, I believe. And any program and any strides we can make in the coaches and helping the coaches and giving them the skills to help teach our players the correct way and the positioning of playing the game so that we're talking about taking away some of these situations, I think is instrumental. Furthering our game and steering away from this situation arising with kids in our game. You know, the policing of our game, the refereeing of our game, the education of the referees is really an extremely hard and difficult thing, I think, to get results with. And any time we can work and implement the rules and the teaching of the game and how we police it, I think is a really important thing. It's a hard thing. And so while the programs in place, I think, are trying to do that, I would still be looking to continually work on how can we make sure our referees, our rules, and how we implement this game for the kids and the coaches to even play is really something we continue to look at and work to make safe for our kids and our game.
Absolutely. That's got to be paramount. And so a couple years ago, the Penguins were able to be a part of a documentary series on HBO, 24/7, The Road to the Winter Classic. Just wanted to get some of your thoughts about being a part of that. And I mean, I know it was very well received by fans, and there was a lot of access.
Yes, there was.
But just your thoughts about being a part of that and maybe how it opened the door a little bit to offering a little bit of a glimpse into the life and the daily life of being in the NHL.
I thought the series was awesome and intriguing. It showed hockey in a different light. I thought HBO did outstanding job in how they presented the game and how they were able to show the game and shoot the game, both from an action standpoint of the game itself, but also the inside that you mentioned, inside the doors, inside the dressing room, inside the benches of the National Hockey League. I thought the series was fascinating, extremely well done. And I think one of the coolest things about it is every person I know, including myself, saw something about the game, some aspect of the game of which they are not privy to. Whether it's the referees on the ice or in their dressing room, whether it's in the dressing room, you know, Ray Shiro has never been inside our dressing room for me to talk to our team. So that's the first time our GM has seen me in the dressing room. Fans obviously get a glimpse to the players that they never get to see. You know, players saw referees in a different light and saw different things that they never get to see. So the access to the game was outstanding. It showed people and the game in such a different light. In a great light. I thought it was well done. I thought it was really fantastic for the game and for the exposure of the game and for people to really see the game in ways they've never seen it before and get inside, you know, the NHL, inside the game of hockey. I thought it was a fantastic series, and I enjoyed watching it as much as I was enjoyed being a part of it. And I really kind of, you know, you look forward to seeing how it's going to be when they do it again.
No doubt. And it must have been nice to be able to see another team being involved in it last year with the Flyers and the Rangers.
It was different to see their insides of their team and the different aspects of the game. And certainly, you know, the part I don't like about watching the team, you see the personalities of the players. And, you want to not like some of those other players because you play against them. And then you see them at their house or their personalities and how they are as a teammate. And you see that glimpse of them. And, like, I choose just to not like the guy. I'm not going to think he's a good guy.
No doubt. The national part of the what's going on now with the collective bargaining agreement, and I don't want to get into any of that stuff, and you know, with what's potentially going to happen. But I wanted to talk to you particularly about the National Hockey League players participating not only in Sochi, Russia, in 2014, but also in future games. As a coach, what are the risks and the rewards, in your opinion, of allowing NHL players to play in the Olympics?
Well, I certainly, I've watched non-NHL players play in the Olympics and watched the NHL players. I really enjoy the Olympics and the tournament in the Olympics from a hockey standpoint with the NHL players there. I think it's great to see the best players from all countries competing against each other. And I think the tournament is outstanding in terms of the quality of competition that you have from a lot of different countries. It's not lopsided. It's a great tournament with great hockey with the best players in the world. So I really like seeing the National Hockey League participate in the Olympics from that standpoint. As a coach of a National Hockey League team, you know, there is aspects of sending players to the Olympics that aren't something you really enjoy seeing. When you see your players go off and compete, and you worry about the injuries, you worry about what it's going to do to them physicality-wise and not getting any rest and really the overload to their schedule. And some of those things come into play when you're coaching the Pittsburgh Penguins and you watch four or five guys, six guys go off and play in the Olympics. But I'm a really big advocate of it. I mean, some of the positives really don't have much to do with me as a coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins or a National Hockey League coach, but for the game, for the players, for the competition, it's absolutely fantastic. The exposure of the game, seeing the best players in the world play in that tournament is great, and so the exposure for those players in the National Hockey League is outstanding. So I really like having the players play in the Olympics, and hopefully that'll be the case in years to come.
I couldn't agree more. And then the last question I have for you is kind of a follow-up to that, and that would be your role with USA Hockey and aspirations to possibly have your name thrown into the hat to lead the team in Sochi.
Well, I have goals. I have goals as well, just like the players do. And for a long time, one of my personal goals is I'd like to coach the national team. I'd like to coach the national team in any given opportunity. There are lots of them out there. You know, I'd love to coach the junior team at some point in time in the junior tournament. I think that would be great. And certainly Olympics is high on my list, is what I'd like to do in my career. And I've worked towards that. I've worked for that in my career and what I do, and I've worked for that in my education. I've worked for that in some of the things that I've done, trying to prepare myself to have the best opportunity to maybe coach the national team and coach the Olympics. So I certainly would love to do that. I'd love to be involved with the red, white, and blue. I'd love to be in that consideration because I think that's a great opportunity. And you know, as a kid growing up with 1980 and some of those things, I still have that as my one of my dreams.
I can imagine. And you know what, with the success that you've had in the National Hockey League and your support of American coaches and American players, I hopefully you'll get that chance. I think it would be great.
Thank you.
Well, anyway, that's all we have time for. I want to thank Dan Bylsma for taking the time for sitting down with us after a long day here at the National Hockey Coaches Symposium. I really appreciate your time, not only for today, but also everything that you do for USA Hockey.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoyed it.